Well, I'm going to talk about two stories today, two of the classic Zen stories from the 9th century. And they're stories about two characters, and they're kind of important characters in the Zen mythology or the Zen tradition. One is the founder of what's called the Rinzai school, Rinchi is the Chinese name, and the other is the founder of the Chaodong school, which is the Soto school. And those are the only two existing Chan schools that have come down from the five schools of that period. The other three have disappeared. So one story is about the founder of one of the existing Zen schools, and the other story is about the founder of the other Zen school. And these schools have different characteristics to them, and so part of the stories will be highlighting those different characteristics. And the two schools are the same school. And so part of the stories will highlight the fact that they are the same school. You're going to have to bear with me. The first story is a little bit long, but I'm sure it's not too long. And the first one is about Lin Qi. There are four characters in this thing. One is Lin Qi himself, and the other is his teacher, Wang Bo, and the other is the head monk, who is kind of plays a minor character in the story, but a pretty important character. And the other is Gao An Da Yu, who is a colleague of Wang Bo, another teacher of Wang Bo's generation. So we got these four characters. So I'm just going to read it through. If I can stop myself from commenting, I'm going to try to read the thing all the way through, and then I'll go back and comment. This is about Lin Qi's awakening. From the beginning of his residence at Wang Bo, Lin Qi's performance of his duties were exemplary. At that time, Mu Chao Dao Ming served as head monk. Mu Chao asked Lin Qi, "How long have you been practicing here?" Lin Qi said, 3 years. Mu Chao said, "Have you gone for an interview with the master or not?" Lin Qi said, "I haven't done so. I don't know what to ask him." Mu Chao said, "Why not ask him? What is the essential meaning of Buddhism?" So Lin Qi went to Wang Bo. But before he could finish his questioning, Wang Bo struck him. Lin Qi went out, and Mu Chao asked him, "What happened when you asked him?" Lin Qi said, "Before I could get the words out, he hit me. I don't understand." Mu Chao said, "Go ask him again." So Lin Qi asked Wang Bo again, and Wang Bo hit him again. Lin Qi asked a third time, and Wang Bo hit him again. I'm not going to comment. Lin Qi revealed this to Mu Chao, saying, "Before you urged me to ask about the Dharma, but all I got was a beating. Because of evil karmic hindrances, I'm not able to comprehend the essential mystery. So today, I am going to leave here." Mu Chao said, "If you're going to leave, you must say goodbye to the master." Lin Qi bowed and went off. Mu Chao then went to Wang Bo and said, "That monk who asked you the questions, although he's young, he's very extraordinary. If he comes to say goodbye to you, please give him appropriate instruction. Later, he'll become a great tree under which everyone on earth will find refreshing shade. The next day, when Lin Shi came to say goodbye to Wang Bo, Wang Bo said, "You don't need to go somewhere else. Just go over to Gao An Monastery and practice with Da Yu. He'll explain it to you." When Lin Shi reached Da Yu said, "Where have you come from?" Lin Shi said, "From Wang Bo." Da Yu said, "What did Wang Bo say?" Lin Shi said, "Three times I asked him about the essential doctrine, and three times I got hit. I don't know if I made an error or not." Da Yu said, "Wang Bo has old grandmotherly affection and endures all this difficulty for your sake. And here you are asking whether you've made some error or not." Upon hearing these words, Lin Shi was awakened. Lin Shi then said, "Actually, Wang Bo's dharma is not so great." Da Yu grabbed him and said, "Why, you little bedwetter, you just..." I'm not going to comment. "Why, you little bedwetter, you just came and said you don't understand, but now you say there's not much to Wang Bo's teaching? What do you see? Speak! Speak!" Lin Shi then hit Da Yu on his side three times. Da Yu let go of him, saying, "Your teacher is Wang Bo. I've got nothing to do with it." Lin Shi then left Da Yu and returned to Wang Bo. Wang Bo saw him and said, "This fellow who's coming and going, how can he ever stop?" Lin Shi said, "Only through grandmotherly concern." Lin Shi then bowed and stood in front of Wang Bo. Wang Bo said, "Who has gone and returned?" Lin Shi said, "Yesterday I received the master's compassionate instruction. Today I went and practiced at Da Yu's." Wang Bo said, "What did Da Yu say?" Lin Shi then recounted his meeting with Da Yu. Wang Bo said, "That old fellow Da Yu talks too much. Next time I see him, I'll give him a painful swat." Lin Shi said, "Why wait until later?" "Why wait until later? Here's a swat right now." Lin Shi then hit Wang Bo. Wang Bo yelled, "This crazy fellow has come here and grabbed the tiger's whiskers." Lin Shi shouted. Wang Bo then yelled to his attendant, "Take this crazy man to the practice hall." So that's Rinzai. It's a little bit like the Three Stooges, don't you think? I mean, Moe, Larry, Curly, bang, 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 bang. So at the beginning of this, now I'll comment. At the beginning of this, you have Lin Shi, a young man, who is to become a great tree under which people find shade, sitting with Wang Bo for 3 years and never talking to Wang Bo, never talking to his master, not thinking he has anything to say. And the head monk plays a pivotal role here in just encouraging Lin Shi to talk with the master. My guess is the head monk knew kind of what was coming. And so then you have this, so you have Lin Shi going and asking the big question: what is Buddhism? What is the Buddha Dharma? I mean, he's not starting with, you know, I really don't like my roommate. I mean, he's not talking about that stuff. The first question out of his mouth to Wang Bo is, what is the Buddha Dharma? What is Buddhism? What is what you're teaching? Give it to me. Well, of course, I mean, what is Wong Bo going to say? Well, he doesn't say anything. I mean, he doesn't even let that question come out before whack to the side of the head. And, you know, end of story. But old Lin Chi comes back twice. He comes back three times. Each time he gets hit and he says, I'm out of here. I'm done with this. I don't get it. This is too much. And then that avuncular head monk comes back into the scene and says, well, why don't you, you know, if you're going to leave, you really ought to at least go and say goodbye to the master. You've been here 3 years, you know. Sorry it didn't work out, but you ought to go say goodbye. And then that avuncular monk goes to... So this head monk is really kind of the guy who had been around Lin Chi, who saw him practicing, saw him in the monastery, and saw that he had great potential. And he intervenes with Wong Bo to give Wong Bo a heads up. You know, go a little easy on this guy. Kind of give him a little bit more direction than another swat on the head, please. So, you know, Wong Bo. Now, Wong Bo is an interesting character, and I'm not going to get into Wong Bo, but Wong Bo supposedly was this huge man with a big bump on his head. You know, so you're going in, and here's this massive guy with a big bump on his head. Supposedly he had that bump on his head because he's bowed so many times and knocked his head against the... So he's probably an imposing figure, is what I guess. So, Wong Bo just says, go see my brother Dayu, my Dharma brother Dayu. He'll give you the answer. And so Lin Chi goes to Dayu, tells his story. He said, three times I asked him about the essential doctrine, and three times I got hit. I don't know if I made some error or not. And then all Dayu says is, Wong Bo has old grandmotherly affection and endures all this difficulty for you. And some light bulb went off in Lin Chi's mind. He realized, so what's going on here is when, and this is what I assume Lin Chi realized, is when you ask what is Buddhism, when you ask what is the Dharma nature, when you ask the great question, there are no words that are going to be able to get... I mean, you know, I'm spouting here and we have all these writings, but the point is the teaching is right here beyond words. As we breathe, as we sit, as we hear planes going overhead, that is suchness. That is what Buddhism is about. Being present with no conceptions, open to the universe. And so of course Wong Bo slapped him. I mean, that was the appropriate answer. That you want to know what it is? It's here. Wake up. You know, Wong Bo could have gone on for 15 minutes about what the name... Wake up! Well, Lin Chi didn't get it. And now, once he's Dayu says, oh, that grandmotherly Wong Bo. All of a sudden, Lin Chi says, oh, I get it. And then he says, actually, that Wong Bo's dharma is not so great. Which is true. Wong Bo's dharma is not so great. Lin Chi's is. I mean, that statement says Lin Chi gets it. But Dayu then says, why you little bedwetter? You just came and said you don't understand, but now you say there's not so much to Wong Bo's teaching. What do you see? Speak, pop. Well, Lin Chi gets it. Lin Chi gets it. And he's telling Dayu he gets it, and Dayu says, Go back to Wong Bo. He's your teacher. You got it. And then Lin Chi goes back to Wong Bo. And Wong Bo says, this fellow who's coming and going, how can he ever stop? So Lin Chi's coming. Wong Bo sees, oh, this guy's back. You know, he's just searching around for he's searching around. He's just back and forth, back and forth. And Lynchy says, responds, only through, how can he ever stop? Lynchy says, only through grandmotherly concern. And then he bowed. So he comes back to Wang Bo, and Wang Bo wonders if he's gotten anything from Gao on. And Lynchy says, yeah, only through grandmotherly concern. I got it. And so Lynchy doesn't let it stop there. He says, who has gone and returned? Who has gone and returned? Which is not just an offhand question. Lynchy said, yesterday I received the Master's compassionate instruction. Today I went and practiced at Dayu's. What did Dayu say? Lynchy recounted the story. And Wang Bo said, that old fellow Dayu talks too much. Next time I'll see him, I'll give him a painful swat. You know, I don't know what's going on there. Except perhaps Wang Bo thinks Dayu gave a little bit too much instruction. Now, three or four sentences to me doesn't seem like too much instruction. I think it probably was really useful, useful to Wang Bo and appropriate, but I mean to Lynchy. But that might have been just a challenge to Lynchy, who I'm assuming that Lynchy, when he was telling the story about his visit with Dayu, said that, and then I told when I was awakened, I told Dayu that Wang Bo's dharma is not so great, and so I think this is perhaps Dayu testing Lynchy a little bit more, and then Lynchy just comes right back with the next when Wang Bo says, next time I see him, I'll give him a painful swat, and Lynchy says, why wait? Bang! And then Wang Bo, and this is one of my, I've heard different translations of this, but Wang Bo yelled, this crazy fellow has come here and grabbed the tiger's whiskers. And that's a recognition by Wang Bo that his student is now Wang Bo, the big tiger with the whiskers, you know, the holder of the Dharma, the scary. Well, Lynchy's coming up and grabbing his whiskers. And Wang Bo just says, go back to the practice hall. Go back and sit. But he has acknowledged that Lynchy is... Lynchy has seen something. He's made some progress on the path. So that's Lynchy Rinzai. That's his awakening. That's his with his teacher. Now the two schools of these two schools, Rinzai and Soto, evolve from these two grand patriarchs. One is Matsu, and one is Sherdao. And Matsu had two of the five schools of Zen come from his lineage. One was through Rinzai, or Lynchy. And Sherdao had three of the schools come from him, one of which was Zaodong or Soto. And these two characters are portrayed in the literature, and a lot of this is just made up stories. I mean, you know, this was made up a few centuries after these guys lived. But Matsu was supposedly a spontaneous kind of, you know, energetic guy. He'd be knocking people around all the time, and he just had that energy about him. And Sherdao was a reclusive. He spent many years by himself, sometimes with a small group of people. He tended to be reflective, tended to connect with nature a lot. So you got these two characters, these two personalities, and the schools that have come from them kind of exhibit those personalities. So this is an awakening story about Dung Shan, who is the founder of the Chaodong or Soto school, and he is the second, two or three generations after Xie Dao, this contemplative recluse, and as Lin Qi was two generations, three generations after Manzi, the kind of spontaneous guy. This story is not quite as long. So Dung Shan had been studying with Yun Yan for quite a while already, and there are a number of stories about their conversations as they were together. But this is as Yun Yan is leaving, and there are only those two characters in this: Yun Yan, the teacher, and Dung Shan, the student. As Dung Shan prepared to leave Yun Yan, Yun Yan said, "Where are you going?" And I'll try not to comment through this either. Dung Shan said, "Although I'm leaving the master, I don't know where I'll end up." Yun Yan said, "You're not going to Hunan?" Dung Shan said, "No, I'm not." Yun Yan said, "Are you returning home?" Dung Shan said, "No." Yun Yan said, "Sooner or later you will return." Dung Shan said, "When the master has an abode, then I'll return." Yun Yan said, "If you leave, it will be difficult to see one another again." Dung Shan said, "It will be difficult not to see one another." Just when Dung Shan was about to depart, he said, "If in the future someone happens to ask whether I can describe the master's truth or not, how should I answer them?" After a long pause, Yun Yan said, "Just this is it." Dung Shan sighed. Then Yun Yan said, "Worthy Liang, now that you have taken on this great affair, you must consider it carefully." Dung Shan continued to experience doubt. Later, as he crossed a stream, he saw his reflection in the water and was awakened to Yun Yan's meaning. He then composed this verse: "Avoid seeking elsewhere, for that's far from the self. Now I travel alone. Everywhere I meet it. Now it's exactly me. Now I am not it. It must thus be understood to merge with thusness." Different tone, huh? Totally different tone. Point is, same story. Point is, the Dharma from a different view, different people, but same story. This is the Soto's. We're a Soto tradition here, so you don't need to worry about getting hit or anything. So in this one, there's this dialogue back and forth around departure. So the student is leaving the master, and Yun Yan is probing him, "Where are you going? Are you going there? Are you going home?" "No, I'm not." "No. Sooner or later you'll return." "Well, you know, does that mean sooner or later you're going to return to this monastery, or sooner or later you're going to return to yourself, or sooner or later you're..." You know, it's a little bit vague. And here I think, again, Dung Shan has been with Yun Yan now for a long period of time, and they were master student. It's not that the story is a little bit different. Lin Qi had never gone to Wangbo. Well, these guys have been rapping together for quite a while. So they kind of knew each other. And so that's part of the reason, I think, a mellower conversation. Sooner or later, you will return. Deng Shan said, when the master has an abode, then I'll return. Now, in Buddhism, everything is empty. Yunyan doesn't have an abode. He's empty. And so Deng Shan says, well, when you have an abode, then I'll return. Like, yeah, it's like in the infinity I'll return. Yunyan said, if you leave, it will be difficult to see one another again. And Deng Shan comes back, it will be difficult not to see one another. Because everything's empty. Everything's totally connected. Deng Shan will always see Yunyan. In everything Deng Shan sees, he will see Yunyan. So this is, a dialogue that is much different than Lin Chi's and Wang Bo. It's partly because these guys have been doing this dialogue for a long time. But it's really a lovely ballet as Deng Shan is leaving. Just when Deng Shan was about to depart, he said, if in the future someone happens to ask whether I can describe the master's truth or not, how shall I answer him? And this is the big question. This is Lin Chi's explain to me what Buddhism is. This is the question. What have you taught? What is the truth that you are teaching? And rather than a after a long pause, and I can only imagine how long that pause might have been, and I can only imagine what Deng Shan was doing. Were they sitting in samadhi together? Was Deng Shan waiting for a slap? Was Deng Shan just wondering, well, what's he going to tell me? Who knows? But there's Yunyan's response to what is the answer to the great question is vast silence, which is the same as a slap. It's the absolute same as a slap. It's here right now. It's here in silence, and it's here in jet engines. It's here and nowhere else. So after a long pause, Yunyan said, just this is it. Deng Shan sighed. I mean, it's like, oh God. I was waiting for an answer, and what do I do? What do I get is, just this is it. So he didn't get, so like Lin Chi, he didn't get it. But in this case, he leaves, and Yunyan says, so this is underlining just this is it. Yunyan sighs. Deng Shan sighs. And then Yunyan said, worthy Liang, now that you have taken on this great affair, you must consider it carefully. So it's at that point, I think, that Yunyan is kind of giving Deng Shan the nod, is saying, it's in your hands now. Even though you're confused, even though you don't think you've got it's in your hands, and it's a great matter. It is the great matter. It's what you've been sitting with me and practicing with me for 6 or 7 years. Now, Deng Shan had also practiced with major, major teachers in his career. Yunyan probably being one of the minor ones. But is also the teacher that Deng Shan kind of claimed as his primary teacher. So then Deng Shan wanders off, and then as he's crossing a stream, he realizes what the message was, what that silence was. And he composes this poem. Avoid seeking elsewhere, for that's far from the self. Now I travel alone, everywhere I meet it. Now it's exactly me, now I'm not it. It must thus be understood to merge with thusness. So the poem is, actually the poem brings in some other stuff, but the poem is basically a recognition that the great teaching is thusness, is suchness. It is this moment, without our concepts brought to it, with great curiosity about what the next thing popping up is going to be, with great openness to that, and not putting any stories on it, not bringing any stories to it, letting go of our conditioning, and just seeing, as Suzuki would say, things as it is. Seeing reality for exactly what it is without all of the layering that we do. That can be spooky, because that layering is what we call ourselves. It's frightening. It can be frightening to think about not bringing all of our baggage to the moment. Because then what is there? There's just the moment. And I think our practice is to encourage us and open us up to do that. To sit with the moment. To let body and mind fall away. And just be present. And it can be scary, but it can also be a great joy and delight. As Sher Dow wrote in the Song of the Grassroot Hermitage, let go of hundreds of years and completely relax. Let go of hundreds of years and completely relax in this moment. So, you've got these two stories. There are two kind of archetypal stories of the two major Zen schools that exist today. Really different ways of presenting the Dharma. Really different ways, but both of these stories were about suchness. Were about just this moment. And in both of these cases, the teacher didn't go into long Dharma talks. For Wang Bo, it was just a slap. And for Yun Yan, it was just silence. And it would be great to just kind of riff on that difference, because there is no difference between a slap and silence, between emptiness and manifestation, but I'm not going to go there. We'll call it quits for this morning. Any questions? Comments? Reactions?
Maybe I'll call it humor or humor for story. Do you think that the writer and the people who heard those stories originally viewed them as humorous?
You know, one of the reasons I resonate with Soto Zen more than you're making. So I'm going to have to rethink myself, rethink my whole life here.
Sorry about that.
The reason I resonate with Soto Zen more than Rinzai is, or at least the reason I have claimed, or the reason I think that I resonate with Soto Zen more than I resonate with Rinzai, is that I really don't have a funny bone in my body. I really don't like to have fun, or don't know how to have fun. So if in fact those early writers and those guys involved didn't see the humor in it, and they were serious, well, maybe I ought to reconsider it and kind of maybe explore Rinzai a little bit more. Probably not. I mean, yeah, but seriously, my guess is no. But I don't know. I mean, you know, it's a 1,000 years ago, a whole different culture. And I'm kind of poking fun at it, you know. And if this were a Rinzai setting, I might not have been poking as much fun at it as I was.
But you would have had a Soto story to poke fun at.
That's right. That's right. That's exactly.
Which, from a Rinzai point of view, is just about as funny.
I'm sure it is. I'm sure it is.
I have a thought about that. It makes sense to me to think of the Rinzai story as, well, both of them are horrible. But, the slack that they always talk about in Rinzai, I think it's just pointing to how hard and quick awakening can come in their practice. Because they practice to cultivate that hard, quick, Kim Shell's not the moment.
Yep.
Of course, in Soto, we talk about Dogen, saying, any time you set Dogen, it's awakening, it's enlightenment. So it's a lot more softer. And the thing about those two stories kind of point to that, using the metaphor.
Yeah. And that's probably what person whose Rinzai giving the talk would start poking fun at that softer, you know, that'd be what I'd go for. But yeah, I think you're right. That soft, flabby Soto.
So Lee, at the beginning you were talking about enjoying being able to talk for 10 minutes.
Yes.
I get irritated when people are talking.
Yeah.
I'm trying to stay in the present state. So I, but that's sort of a bell for me, that irritation.
Yeah.
To then just try to beat them in.
Yeah. I was at Moose Lake yesterday, and where we do meditation, and it's kind of like a little quiet space for these guys in. And people were talking exactly about that, is that how do you use that as a bell? Yeah?
Well, it's my first time. I've been very interested. I see the two approaches. It seems like it captures whatever personality you have to have. Is there like a middle version?
Are you?
Sometimes you feel a little more laid back, other times somewhat a little bit more outgoing.
Yeah.
But there's that middle, maybe.
Yeah. And this is your first time. So you may not be aware of this, but Buddhism is often called the middle way. You know what I think is, so this is the way I think about that. A good teacher will meet a student wherever they're at. So if you've got a student who's kind of into wax, you'll kind of figure out how to meet them where they're going to kind of connect. And if you've got a student who's into, and sometimes it may be bringing those students kind of into the middle, So I think a good teacher would meet a student wherever they're at. But the other thing I say, and as somebody who's here for the first time, I encourage people to check out different Buddhist teachers and different Buddhist schools. So Zen is one school. There's the Tibetan school, and there's the Theravadan school. And then there are differences, for instance, in the Zen school. In the Zen tradition, we have two different kinds of schools. I encourage people to find out where they resonate the most with the teaching and with the teacher, so that where you're most receptive, basically. And after you've kind of done that exploration, then make the commitment to stay there, even if it gets tough, even if because oftentimes, particularly in our culture, I think it's real easy when you find some place, when it begins to get a little tough, maybe I'll go shopping somewhere else. And I don't think that's good. So I encourage people to find out where they resonate, what manifestation of, because it's all the same teaching. It's just kind of a different styles. So find out where you resonate the most, and then kind of stick with that one. So good question. Other questions?
There's a slight variation to that story also.
Yes, sir.
When he entered the monastery, he was told that he took a vow of silence, and he was allowed three words every 10 years. And after he'd been there 10 years, he went before Wangbo and said, "Dead too hard." He bowed and went back to his room. 10 years later, he came back and bowed to Wangbo and he said, "Room too cold." They bowed. 10 years later, he comes back after being there for 30 years and bowed to Wangbo and he says, "I'm leaving." And Wangbo said, "I don't blame you. All the dust that should be out here is complaining."
Did you guys hear that back there?
No.